Hello and welcome to the Sales Technology Training Call. This is Rick Cooper. Thanks for joining me today. I've got a great call planned for you. Today's call will include 30 minutes of content and 30 minutes of Q&A. You can check your email for a copy of the notes of today's call. To ask a question or to share a win, you can email me at rick@actualmediaoutcomes.com. A great place to be on the internet during the call today is out on Facebook, and you can join us out in our Facebook group for the Sales Technology Training Program. Just click on the link in the email message that I sent out earlier today, and that will take you straight into the group where you can participate in the conversation. And in fact, let me post a message out there, and let me say comment goal. Let's set a comment goal for today's call of 25 comments. So I just posted that out in the group. Now, I also recommend that you get access to the audio recordings of these calls out on our membership page. And again, you'll find that link in the email message I send out. The Sales Tech Program Training Program is a 90-day program or 12-week program that's designed to help you implement systems online to generate leads and earn sales. And there are 12 modules of content that we cover in this program. Now, one thing I want to mention here, I am actually going to be phasing this program out. Believe it or not, I'm going to run the program one more time in full this year, and then I'm going to stop the program. So today we are covering Module 8, so we will continue on with our current set of modules and go through 9, 10, 11, 12, and then we'll do a have a group training call, and then I will do the modules one more time, weeks 1 through 12, and then we'll go ahead and wrap the program and end it. So the fact that you're on this call to me today tells me that you are interested in learning this content and information, and I'm excited about that. And I want to encourage you, since we're right at the beginning of the brand new year, and this is January 6th, so we're right at a brand new year, I want to encourage you to recommit to participate in this program as we complete out this set of modules, and then we start the next set of modules. So, in fact, if you'd like to commit to do that, to participate in the program through to the end, go ahead and post a message out in the Facebook group and let me know that. That just will help to make a commitment for you to continue participating in the program. Now, on today's training, we're going to be covering social media techniques to book appointments. So we're going to talk about strategies that you can use to leverage social media in order to book appointments with other people. And this is part of a series of calls that we've been doing for the last few weeks talking about appointment setting strategies. And if you remember, each one of the these modules ties back to a main component of this program, and it covers lead generation, appointment setting, and lead conversion strategies. So today is the eighth module. We complete out the set of modules on appointment setting, and the next week we begin with the last four modules, which all have to do with lead conversion. So first of all, there's a lot of different ways that you can use social media in order to book appointments. One of the simplest ways to do it is through using private messages on Facebook. Facebook is a great tool that allows you to be able to reach out and connect with your friends. And one of the simplest ways to do that is by sending private messages out on Facebook. Now, Dr. Ivan Meisner said, Dr. Ivan Meisner said, networking is not about hunting, it's about farming. It's about cultivating relationships. Don't engage in premature solicitation. You'll be a better networker if you remember that. And I think that's good advice to use on social media, too. I see that too often, that people try to connect with somebody, and immediately they're trying to promote their business to them. And I think you just have to be patient and work on developing relationships over time, because that relationship is eventually going to bear fruit. Whether they become a customer or not, I don't know. They could become a joint venture partner. They could refer you. There's a lot of different things that could happen. And certainly they could just lead you to someone else. You know, every person that you're connected to out on social media has a network of friends, and you can go and connect with them as well. So for most people, I would say, you know, they're probably going to be good connections. But, you know, I just went through a process at the beginning of this year where I weeded out about 20 Facebook friends. A lot of them were business pages that were masquerading as personal pages. So they literally named their personal page with a business name. And I noticed it all at once because on January 1st, I got, average day, I get about, I have about 10 birthday messages or birthday requests. You know, it'll say, these 10 people are having a birthday today. And on January 1st this year, there were 27. And I thought, wow, this must be a banner day for birthdays. And then as I was looking through and analyzing it, I realized a lot of these were business pages. And what happened was when these people created their personal page on Facebook, they just picked January 1st as a birth date. And so there are all these pages that ended up showing that they had birthdays on that date. They didn't really have a birthday on that date. They just picked that date randomly. So I eliminated a bunch of those. And I unfriended a few other people as well. But I do go through that periodically through my friends list and cut it down a little bit and make it a little bit more manageable and make sure that the people that I'm connected to are the people that I really want to be engaging with. But sending a private message is a great way to develop that relationship, and that's one of the things that I've been doing earlier this year. I probably already sent about 120 private messages to people so far this year, and I plan to continue at that pace. I want to do about 5 to 10 per day, sending private messages, reaching out to people. I think that's a great way of developing relationships one by one, because I'm already doing a lot of the work in terms of reaching people kind of globally through my messages, but I want to be able to reach people more individually now. Now, another great way that you can, and by the way, as I'm going through this content, I want to remind you to share your takeaways out on the Facebook page. In fact, let me pop out there real quick, and let's see who's posting. Let's see here. Roy says, today's module 8 of 12. There will be one more round of modules after this semester, and then the class is closing. Tom says, I have to leave. I will listen to the recording. Alan said, send private messages out on Facebook. Good. Nice takeaway there. Let's see. Alan says, every person you're connected to in social media may have friends that you might want to get to know. Absolutely. Okay, good. I'll go back and read some of the messages a little bit later, but keep them coming. Share your takeaways, what you're learning on the call today. So let's talk about Facebook events. First of all, a Facebook event is a way to invite people to an appointment. My mentor, Eric Lofholm, says, describes an appointment as being an opportunity where you can deliver your sales presentation. And so you can host an event, you can deliver content, and you can extend an invitation to work with you, some type of an offer at the end of the webinar or teleseminar or Google Hangout or whatever type of event that you're doing. And so an event then becomes an appointment. And therefore, a Facebook event becomes a way to invite people to an appointment or a way to book an appointment. So if you're not currently doing events, then I would encourage you to do it because it's one of the best ways to book appointments with people through social media. And if you're not doing events, then maybe this is the year that you get it done. I would encourage you to put that onto your list to get it done. And for me, I'm actually going to be pulling back a little bit from doing so many events. I was going through and taking a look at the number of events that I did last year, and I'll have to go back and compile the exact number, but I did over 100 free events in 2014, and I did probably another 200 to 300 events for clients through teleseminars and webinars. So I did a lot of events in 2014. I'm going to be changing up my mix a little bit and doing things a little bit differently in 2015. So I'm going to be actually probably doing, at least at this point, my strategy is to do fewer free events. And so, sometimes you have to change up your mix a little bit. You have to evaluate what's working for you and what's not. And it's not only just the results, but it's also looking at your time invested. I put a lot of effort into the trainings that I do, and not only do I do live trainings, but I also follow up and I provide the recordings to trainings and do other things as well. So there's a lot of activity that I have around events. But for most people, it's exactly the opposite. They're not doing any events or not doing enough events. And so I think for most people, it's a matter of stepping up their activity. Now, Michael Port, author of Book Solid, says, always have an event to invite people to. And so at the moment, I don't actually have one. Just about every week I have something to invite people to. I've got to get some things scheduled on my own calendar for coming up. So I'm behind myself. The end of the year has kind of thrown me out of kilter a little bit, and so I need to get some things scheduled so I can have things to invite people to as well. But that's a mindset that I have, that I've developed, is always have an event to invite people to. And, you know, maybe it's not every single week, but maybe it's once per month, or maybe it's every other month. But just come up with some kind of a frequency that you're going to be doing some type of events, and then have something that you can invite people to. Now, let's talk a little bit about the process of having people opt in to schedule an appointment. So events, for instance, can be a great way to build your email list. You can schedule an event, and then you can create a registration page, and then you can put a link out there for people to go out and register. In fact, I just completed a registration page today for Eric Lawfoam. Eric's one of my clients. I'm one of Eric's clients. And so Eric has me do a lot of technology work for him, and so I completed a registration page for people to sign up for a 3-week webinar series that he's offering in January on how to close more sales. And so I created that registration page for him that links into his database so that when people fill out the form, that opts them into his email marketing system. So that's a best practice. That's a technique that I encourage you to use and implement as well. So, of course, you're going to need a web page with an opt-in form. And by the way, where do you get opt-in forms from? Well, you get that from your email marketing system. That's where you go to create your opt-in form. So you want to make sure that you have an email marketing system that allows you to create an opt-in form that you can put on a web page. And not every system is the same. Some of them have, you know, some of them are a little bit challenged in terms of how it's set up. I don't particularly like, for instance, the MailChimp option. Whenever I've tried to embed a MailChimp opt-in form on a page, it ends up not working, and instead I have to add a button where people click and then it pulls up an opt-in form like in a pop-up box, which I don't like doing it that way, but that's the way it seems to work best with MailChimp. And then also Constant Contact, I've had some problems before in terms of setting them up. So I just recommend that you get a system where you can embed an opt-in form simply and easily on your web page. For example, AWeber does a really good job at it. They give you a ton of different opt-in forms as far as templates, and they're easy to embed right on a web page. Now, you can also post messages out on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn, and you can encourage people to schedule an appointment with you. This reminds me of Carol Smith, who's one of my clients, and for a while she was offering a free LinkedIn strategy session, and that was a 15-minute appointment where people could schedule an appointment with her and where she would talk to them about LinkedIn. And she used TimeTrade, which is the service that I use for booking appointments, and she would post a message out on Twitter and include a link to her TimeTrade account where people could go and schedule that LinkedIn strategy session. So that can be a great way to leverage social media to be able to book appointments, is just sharing a TimeTrade link. And there are many other different services that are like TimeTrade. I've just found that TimeTrade is the best one for me and for most of my clients, since that's the one that I recommend. Now, you can also use Google Hangouts. Now, with a Google Hangout, typically, when you're sharing that Hangout, you wouldn't necessarily set up a registration page, although you could have a separate registration page, but you could directly to the Google Hangout, and then they would click and then join in on the Hangout. So here's another distinction. People don't necessarily have to opt into your email list in order for you to be able to have an appointment with them or to deliver a presentation. Makes sense, right? You know, that's just the best practice I use, is that I always have people register first. But you could just have somebody jump in and join on a Hangout. In fact, when I worked with Laura Langmeyer as her affiliate manager, she would, on a monthly basis, she did an event called Ask Laurel. And she would live stream a video on the internet. And so people could go out to ustream.com and they could watch the video directly there. One of the reasons she liked doing it on that site is when you reach a certain number of participants, and she would have like hundreds of people participating, then you would get a spike in additional people joining in because other people that are out on the site would see your event because it would feature the ones that are most popular at that time. And it was kind of funny. We had a going joke that every time we seemed to do the Ask Laurel event, that she always got beat out by the owl. There was like a live stream video from a zoo of an owl just sitting on a tree. And we could never quite beat the owl. The owl always had the most participants on its live stream. And it's just kind of funny. That's the way it is sometimes. You know, sometimes we think we're big and important, and sometimes it takes an owl to knock us off our perch. But that is an advantage. You may have cases like that. But see, she was having an appointment. She was sharing information. She was leading out, generating leads, generating sales through that that presentation that she was doing, and because that video essentially was going viral, she was getting additional people jumping in, getting exposed to her message who, you know, aren't connected through social media, aren't on her email list. So, you know, that's an important distinction, is that you don't necessarily have to have people on your webinar that have previously registered. You know, whether it's a webinar or a teleseminar, the webinars are a little bit different because most webinars do require some type of a registration process. But certain types of technologies you could just put out there. In fact, my mentor, Eric Lofholm, he likes doing teleseminars. And sometimes when he does a teleseminar or a conference call, he'll just put the phone number out on his Facebook page. He'll say, hey, I'm doing a call right now. I'm going to be talking about how to close more sales. If you'd like to join me, dial in on the phone number. And then people will just call in directly on the phone number. He didn't require people to register. So don't think that you just have to have people register. That's just the best practice. It doesn't necessarily mean that you need to do that. Now, so first of all, let me talk a little bit about how to start a conversation online that will lead to setting an appointment. Because certainly if you're starting to reach out to people, if you're starting to send them private messages, if you're having conversations with them, then the next question is going to be, okay, how do I lead from being somebody's friend on Facebook or a follower on Twitter to now actually having an appointment with them? Well, that is the process of creating influence with people. It's the process of getting to know people. It's the process of prospecting people. And so what I would encourage you to do is come up with a step-by-step process that you can use in following up, reaching out, and connecting with people. And you know, one thing to keep in mind, not everybody that you're connected to on social media is your ideal customer or client. So one of the things that you want to do is you want to filter your list. A simple way to filter your list is by using friend lists. So Facebook allows you to create a list of friends, and you can create different categories. Like I have one list for speakers, and I have another list for coaches, and I have another list for authors. And that allows me the opportunity to then go in and select that group of people, and I could talk to them one by one by sending them private messages, or I could talk to them as a group by posting a message on my personal page and limiting it just to that specific audience. But you need a way to organize your approach in prospecting people. If you're just trying to reach out to everybody, then you're probably really not going to have the kind of effect that you want. But let's just say that you had 1,000 friends on Facebook, and let's say that 500 of those friends were prospects for you. Well, you better have a plan to reach out to that 500 people. How are you going to contact them? What is your step-by-step process? One of the things you want to know is, what information do you have about them? Do you have a phone number? Do you have an email address? This is where a CRM comes in handy. A CRM is a customer relationship management system. It's a place where you can store all your information about people. You can make notes about your contact with them. But you need to have a deliberate, systematic approach to reaching out and making contact with people. I do a lot of marketing communications where I reach out to everybody at once. I send out an email message and it goes out to thousands of people. But I also send email messages one at a time. I send private messages one at a time. And I pick up the phone and I call people one at a time. And so part of your approach has to be kind of mass marketing, reaching out to everyone, and part of your approach has to be more one-on-one or relationship-based marketing. Seth Godin said, conversations among the members of your marketplace happen whether you like it or not. Good marketing encourages the right sort of conversations. You know what? There's a lot of people out there that are talking about whatever topic is that you help your customers, your clients, your people with. And so you want to think about what you have where are those conversations happening and how can you jump in. And I'll give you an example. I post questions out on my Facebook page all the time. And so I have a number of people jumping in and participating in those conversations. So, that's a place where you can go and you can connect with other people. So look for where you have people, pages, or groups where there are conversations happening. And then you can jump into those conversations and participate. And that can also give you some information. Like a lot of the questions that I put out there are related to food. And so if you were into health and you saw somebody's response and, maybe they express some concerns about their health or about their eating habits or something like that, that might present an opportunity for you. And it might not be that you post a message right away and say, hey, I can help you, which I see people do that all the time. What you might want to do is simply first add them as a friend, make a connection, and then make a plan to follow up with them over time. And it might be at a certain point that you might say something like, hey, I saw that you had posted a while back that you were concerned about your health. I'd love to, take 5 to 10 minutes and just chat with you about your health. I work with, people to help them do X, Y, and Z. So think about how you can make use of those opportunities when you have them in an appropriate way. All right, we're going to open up for questions here in about 6 minutes, so now would be a good time to post your questions out in the Facebook group. Also, make sure that you are continuing to share your takeaways there. Let me pop out real quick and see what we're up to. Oh, good, we're already up to 28, so we met our goal of 25. It looks like Alan is leading the way with comments today, so great job, Alan. Continue on. Let me share 5 questions to use when starting a conversation. So again, this is great if you're sending a private message to someone. What are those messages? What are those questions that you might post, or not post, but that you might send in a private message that will help to start a conversation? One question is, what's new in your world? Now is we reach people, it's a brand new year. And so a lot of people are making changes here at the beginning of the year. So right now I'm sending people messages here. But in weeks I'll probably shift and I'll say, what's new in your world? So I'll just kind of change it up a little bit and see who responds back. Another good question to ask is, how can I best help you? And again, you don't have to just post these or send these on their own. Like if I were going to say, how can I best help you, I might go out and say something like, I love connecting with people and looking for ways that I can, partner together and help people out. How can I best help you? So that would be a great way to ask that question. So you can take these questions here and you can combine them with other text, but make sure that you keep your messages short. I recommend you keep your message, your private messages, to about 2 to 3 sentences. Now, there might be a time when you want to add more, but in general, when you're reaching out to someone, making a connection, trying to start a conversation, I would say keep it short. Another good question is, who makes a good referral partner for you? And another one to follow on with that one is, who is a good power partner for you? It's just stated a little bit differently. Some people use the term referral partner. Some people use the term power partner. Another question is, do you have any upcoming events? And then finally, what is one now? What is one of your most important goals right now? So those are all great questions. And you can add your own questions. Maybe if if you're helping people with health, for instance, then you might want to say something like, what is one health habit that you would like to change? That might be a great question. Some people would respond to that. Some, you know, I might say something like, I want to reduce the amount of sugar that that I'm taking in, or something like that. But, you know, questions, open-ended questions, help to uncover opportunities. Now, when is the appropriate time to ask for an appointment? Like, how much time should pass after you add somebody as a friend before you ask for an appointment? Well, it really depends, but I would probably say at least 30 days. It may be upwards of 90 days after you meet somebody. And certainly, after you've had an opportunity to send private messages back, and ideally had some public conversations as well. Maybe you like some of their posts, you comment on some of their posts. You want to get to a point where they know who you are. Remember that it takes about 7 points of contact before people remember who you are and what you do. And in today's busy age, it's more like 26 points of contact when you consider that a like is a touch and a comment is a touch. And so you need those different interactions over time before, you know, people really get a sense of who you are. Otherwise, you're going to be asking for an appointment and they don't really know who you are. I mean, they can click and go out and take a look at your page, but you really want to get to the point where they already know who you are, and now the next logical step is to schedule the appointment. But basically, it's going to be after a series of interactions with that person. You're going to have some type of interactions over time, and then ultimately, then it will be time for you to offer to schedule an appointment. And by the way, you don't necessarily have to use the word appointment. I like using the word chat. You know, something like, hey, do you have 10 minutes in the next week to chat? Chat sounds a lot more informal than appointment. Appointment kind of screams, hey, let's get on the phone so I can tell you something. So just keep in mind that choosing different words will often have an impact on how people respond to you. Now, how do you follow up with your existing customers? Well, once you are, you know, once you have an existing, you have to connect with them on social media. I mean, if you're not already connected with them, that would be a good time to connect, is after they sign up as a customer or client. And you can use social media as a way to stay in touch. So I will go out periodically, and I'll pay attention to see what my clients are doing out on social media, and I'll like and I'll comment, and I'll create some engagement with them, and then I might go and send them a private message. And I might offer to schedule an appointment at some point. I do that periodically, or reach out and say, hey, let's schedule a time for us to chat. So, and sometimes you can even put that out even as a statement rather than a question. You know, let's schedule some time to chat. That's not asking a question, that's just making a statement. And then they would respond back to that, and they would say something like, sounds great. And then you go, okay, excellent. Are you available at Tuesday at 2 or Wednesday at 3? You know, whatever process. Or, you know, or if you prefer, you can click here to book an appointment through Time Trade. Now, how do you send messages out through LinkedIn? Well, LinkedIn is another social media site like Facebook, like Twitter, but more focused on a business audience. And there's less interaction and engagement on LinkedIn through kind of the updates that you can put out there on LinkedIn than, say, on Facebook. LinkedIn, you do have groups where you can go out and connect and engage with people, you can send people messages through LinkedIn, and it will go out to them as a message on LinkedIn. They can access it through LinkedIn, or they can also receive it through email and respond that way as well. But it's a pretty robust messaging system in terms of giving you some capabilities to store information, messages, and follow up, reach out to people, make contact with all your connections. So one of the things I want to encourage you to do as we're talking about this is set some goals about how many interactions that you want to have with people through social media. So let me give you an example here. Let's say that you set a goal that you want to send 3 messages on LinkedIn per day. So that becomes a goal. That becomes a habit. That's something that you want to do every single day. And maybe it's just on business days. You know, some people you don't want to contact on weekends. So maybe it's just on business days. But then you would go in every day and you would select 3 of your connections on LinkedIn and you would send them a message. That's a great strategy. That's a duplicatable strategy. That's something that you can repeat and duplicate over time. What is the message? What are you sharing in the message? Well, that's going to depend. You have to come up with a content for it. But you start with a strategy that you're going to send out the messages. Because here's the thing. What's the point of having a network of people if you don't reach out and make a connection with them, right? If you're not reaching out and sending the messages periodically. And by the way, LinkedIn does give you a way to send a message to, I think it's up to 200 people at once. You go in and select the message and you can type in multiple people. I don't like that as much because it's kind of like a spammy kind of message. You know, you send it out and it goes to a bunch of people. I prefer the one-on-one message, but, you know, for you, maybe it's a strategy you want to try out. Maybe it's something to consider. All right. It's time for Q&A, so let me pop over into the Facebook group. And it looks like we're up to 34 comments. Okay, let's see. Alan says, sending private messages is a great way to reach out to people. Yes, absolutely. And you want to have a specific strategy that you use to reach out to people. Alan says, develop relationships one by one. Yeah, that's a great way to do it. It's really kind of tough to just develop relationships, you know, a bunch at a time. I mean, you can certainly use social media to create engagement with people, and that helps develop relationships. But if you want to get to know somebody personally, you really have to do that one by one, which means you need to devote some time, energy, and effort into identifying who you want to be developing relationships and by reaching out to them individually. Roy said a Facebook event is a way to invite people to appointments. Yeah, absolutely. You can schedule an event, and then you can invite people to it. You can have them go out and register for your event, and that's a great technique. Alan said, Rick did over 100 free events in 2014. And says, wow, that's a lot. Yeah, that was a lot. I did at least one event per week, which is 52 right there, and I did a lot more than that. So Alan said, some experts say to always have an event to invite people to once a month or every other month, but to be regular. Yeah, and one thing you can do there is you can schedule an event even if it's a couple months out, but make sure you get your registration page up, and now you can promote that over time. You can invite people to it over time. But the sooner you get it scheduled, the sooner you can start promoting it and sharing it. Al says events can be a great way to build your email database. Absolutely. It's a great strategy. And Alan says, that means you need a web page with an opt-in form. Right, that's a best practice. Alan says MailChimp doesn't do opt-in easily. For whatever reason, the opt-in forms I've found don't seem to work when you embed them onto a web page. And some things are like that. And it's really tough to kind of troubleshoot something like that. If you do what you're supposed to do and it doesn't work, it's like, okay, what do you do now? Well, you can try testing it on other websites and see what happens. But if it's not going to work, it's not going to work. But at least you do have the option to kind of add a link to a button and then have people click on the button to register. It's not preferred, but it is functional. But, MailChimp is not my favorite. Some people swear by it. They like it. But I just found that it's not the best to be using. Alan says, find a system that will let you embed an opt-in form easily. Absolutely. And I use a tool called Optimize Press to create my lead capture pages. And again, you need a system that will allow you to create the form and embed it on the page so that it will link in. Because Optimize Press, it will take your opt-in code and it takes it and modifies it and incorporates it into the page. So it does some things with your form, and if your form's not going to work, then it's not going to work. You're going to have to find some alternative to make the thing work. Alan said, invite people in social media to a free appointment to give value. Right. If you want to generate sales, you need more appointments. You need to be spending more time one-on-one or one-to-many with people. So whether you're doing a teleseminar, a webinar, or Google Hangouts, or you're doing a one-on-one phone call or even a web meeting one-on-one with people. That's an opportunity for you. Alan said, people don't always have to register for an event. Yeah, absolutely. You could just put a phone number out there and have people join into it. That can be a great strategy. Roy says, use friend lists to filter your Facebook prospecting. Right. It's kind of a built-in mechanism within Facebook to allow you to sort and group people into different lists, and then you can go in and select those lists. But you can also do the same things through spreadsheets. So I compile my friends into a spreadsheet, and then I can go through and I can add a category, for instance, and I can sort that spreadsheet by that category. And so if I want to look up, say, all speakers, then I can go in and I can filter or sort that, and then I'll select my speaker contacts and reach out to them individually. So you could also do the same thing within a CRM. It's just you need to make sure you have something that will work for you. So you can try out some different things and see what works best. Alan said, filter your list of Facebook friends. Create separate, narrower lists and groups. Not all Facebook friends are your ideal audience for everything. Right. You know, one of the challenges with just going out and interacting with everybody who interacts with you on Facebook is you could be spending a lot of time making a connection with somebody and talking to them, and they're not even your ideal client. And you know, the strategies I teach are for business owners. They're for sales professionals. And so you have to be selective. You have to think about the people that you're having conversations with on a regular basis. And if they're not the right people, then you need to make some adjustments. And I'll just share one little tip with you. I don't think I've shared this one before. One of the ways that I help to, I guess, cut down on interaction is with people is if I find somebody who is posting on my page and trying to interact with me and they're not an ideal fit, then what I will do is I will mark them as an acquaintance. I will mark them as an acquaintance on Facebook. Facebook allows you to be able to filter your posts in a couple ways. Like on an individual post, if you go in there and then click on the option for who should receive this or read it, you can select public, you can select friends, you could just have only me, or you could have close friends, for instance. But you can also say friends except acquaintances. And that's really one of my favorite options there, friends except acquaintances. Because what that allows me to do is instead of having to just organize by lists, in which case if I'm sharing something with a specific list, I might only reach like 200 people. But if I have somebody who's interacting and I want to cut down on the interaction, then I can just change them to an acquaintance. And then I can take a post, and instead of posting it to the public or to friends, I can share it with friends except acquaintances. This is a great technique. And so what that allows you to do is now to be able to limit the people who can interact with you. So the way that I think of it is it's just imagine like a series of concentric circles. At the center of the circle is you. And then the circle outside of that is your close friends. A little bit farther out is your friends except acquaintances. And then a little bit broader out is your friends. And then broader out is the public. And that's basically everybody else who's out there, out on the internet. And so sometimes I'll have a post that I start off, at first it's available to the public. And then maybe I cut it back to just friends. And then I'll cut it back to friends except acquaintances. And then I'll cut it back to close friends. And eventually I might just change it to just me. Now, I don't leave every post down on my personal Facebook page out there forever. Sometimes I'll go back and I'll just say, I don't really want this one to be out there anymore. Today I posted a message, and I love posting questions on Facebook. I put out there mustard or mayo. Well, but there might come a day, maybe a week from now, that I don't want that on my page anymore. Maybe I want to eliminate that. I put it out there to create engagement. But after it kind of serves its purpose, then I could minimize that. I could make that kind of disappear from my page. So these are all some great strategies that you can use that will help you to adjust who you're reaching out to. Because ultimately, you have to be picky about who you spend your time communicating with, right? You know, if you're going to pick up the phone, make sure that you're going to call good prospects. Roy said, a CRM can help you in organizing your prospecting. Yes, but you need a somewhat robust system to allow you to do that. I use Zoho as a CRM, and it's got some nice capabilities, but it's not perfect in that sense. And part of it is sometimes with a CRM, what you have to do is you have to spend some time going in and customizing it. Like one of the things I've done is I've added in a field for profession. And so that's where I can organize and group people. So I could select somebody and add them to my list of speakers or to my list of coaches. The challenge with that, though, is that when I select a field off of that list, then I can only select one. And so if I'm, I have to figure out, okay, well, do I want to put this person as a speaker or a coach? What if they're both? Well, I have to pick one. Whereas on Facebook, I can add a person to multiple lists. So each system has its own limitations. You have to explore and play and see what's going to work best for you. Alan said, good marketing helps encourage the right kinds of conversations. Absolutely. Yeah, not every conversation you put out there is going to be a good conversation. If you find that you put out, like, sometimes I'll share videos. I shared a video over the weekend, and it was a video where it showed they set up this prank where they added like literally like a pool right in the middle of the forest. And then they filmed as people walked along, and they had kind of disguised it to where, you know, it looked as if it were, you know, solid ground. People would step into it, and they'd fall into the water. Well, I thought it was funny, but some of my friends didn't think it was so funny, and people were saying, like, oh, they could have broken their neck and this and that. And I'm like, oh, my goodness. So finally, after a couple people posted, I said, okay, that's it. I'm removing this one. So I went in, and I just clicked and changed it to only me. So that post basically disappeared off my page. So if you're not getting the right kinds of conversations, then make sure that you eliminate those conversations. You know, they're not really serving you and accomplishing what you want. Roy said, use starter conversations to initiate private conversations. Rick gives examples at 25 minutes into the call. For example, what's new in your world? Yeah, absolutely. And that's also in the notes. You should have that in your notes, I think. But let me just pop out there real quick and see if I could find it here. I'll pull up notes for today and see if I can locate it. Some things I share in the notes and other things are not. Yep, those questions are in your notes, so you'll be able to get access to it out there. All right, Alan says, five questions to use when starting a conversation via private message. What's new in your world? How can I best help you? Who makes a good referral partner for you? Who would make a good power partner for you? Do you have any events coming up? And I like that events one for me because I want to find people who are doing events because that gives me somebody that I could do some reciprocal promotion. I could promote their event. They can promote my event. Roy said, set the stage for scheduling an appointment in steps. Right. Yeah, like know what your process is. Like if you haven't quite figured out what's the step-by-step process yet for you to be able to reach out to people to make a connection and lead them to schedule an appointment, then spend some time working on that. You know, part of it is experimentation. It's trying out different things. I think when you first send somebody a private message, the goal is to get them to respond back. See, when you send somebody a message, you're probably going to get responses back maybe half of the time or maybe a third of the time. So what do you do with the rest of the people? Well, you go back and keep trying. You know, maybe you have to send them three messages before they finally respond to you. And by the way, if you're not getting a response through private message, you can also reach out and send people an email or make a phone call if you have that contact information. And if you don't have their contact information, first of all, if they're a business owner, see if they have a website. See if you go find their contact information. Or do they have a LinkedIn profile? Oftentimes people have their contact information on their LinkedIn profile. So do a little bit of research. Do a little bit of due diligence. Some people are more responsive through private message. Other people not so much. So find a communication channel that's going to work for them. Roy said you don't necessarily have to use the word appointment. Right. Yeah, that's appointment is a sales term. Appointment, meeting, those are kind of sales terms. And so find words that are that will reduce resistance. Like chat I found to be an effective word. Hey, let's schedule a time to chat. Alan said you can send messages out in LinkedIn. And also LinkedIn is more business-oriented. Right. So a lot of the conversations are more business-oriented. The topics are more business-oriented. There's more business owners. There's executives of companies. It's just a different type of environment than Facebook. All right. Let's do a quick check-in here. Looks like we've got about 10 minutes to go before the end of the call. Let me check to see if I've got any more notes here. Any questions, anything that I haven't answered about how to use social media to book appointments? Let me just give you some unorthodox ways. So some other ways to book appointments. using social media would be, one, you could create a video and share on social media. That would be a great technique. So about a 2 to 3 minute video, share content. At the end of the video, extend an invitation to book an appointment. You either drive out to a registration page where people could fill out an opt-in form to request an appointment, or secondly, you could just drive straight to a time trade link. Now, time trade links are a little bit long, so you probably want to create a Bitly link. If you're not familiar with Bitly, there's Bitly, there's TinyURL, and a few other sites. Bitly allows you to create a shortcut. And you can also create an alias. So I could create a Bitly link that said something like bit.ly.com/RickCooperChat. And then somebody would, and so I could say that in a video, and then it would be memorable. People would hear bit.ly.com/RickCooperChat, and they would know how to get to Bitly, and then they could just type the /RickCooperChat, and that would lead them directly to schedule an appointment with me. That would be a technique. You can also create a blog post and lead people to book an appointment. That would be a great technique. So what you want to think about is all the different ways that you could drive toward a particular result. And again, this isn't just a one-time strategy. You can create multiple videos. You can create multiple blog posts. Just mix those in from time to time. If you've never done a blog post where you offer an appointment, give it a try. And by the way, you could also do the same thing where you do a blog post and lead people to an event. By the way, here's another tip. When you do events, do an event and repeat the event. And when you finish an event, make sure you schedule another event like it coming up in the future, so that if you do promotion for that event, then people clicking and going out to the page will see the next date coming up. I do that all the time. In fact, I had an event this week, and after the event was complete, I updated the page so that people can go and register for the next one. So, because people, they go through their emails. You know, I go through emails from like 3 or 4 months ago, and I'm looking at them. Sometimes I'll click on links and go through, like, oh, this was an interesting event. I wonder if the replay is available. I'll click through, and oh, the event is coming up again. Cool. I'll just register for this one. So it's kind of like putting breadcrumbs out there on the internet. You want to find all these different ways that you can lead people out there. And so part of what you want to do in your online marketing, leveraging sales technology tools, is to get a bigger presence out there online. This is a great way to do it. All right, checking back out in the Facebook group, looking for questions. Alan says, Facebook lets you filter your posts according to your level of connection. You can change friends to acquaintances and leave out acquaintances from some posts. Right, and just one thing about that. When you change somebody to an acquaintance, they're still a friend. So when you change the message to friends except acquaintances, you're saying, okay, show this message to all my friends, but exclude the acquaintances, the people that I've identified as acquaintances. Now, by the way, one interesting thing, when you add new friends on Facebook, should you make them acquaintances? I don't automatically do that. I leave them as friends. The way I treat acquaintances is it's kind of like you're in the penalty box. if you've been set as an acquaintance, it's because you did something on my page that I didn't like, and so now I'm going to put you over in the penalty box. I'm marking you as an acquaintance. And so now when I filter my posts, I know I'm keeping out those people from those posts. So it's like, you know, okay, you're outside the circle of trust now. Going back to the, as an example, from the movie, Meet the Parents. Robert De Niro talked about the circle of trust. You're outside of the circle of trust. And so that's the way I look at it. And it's kind of like, okay, well, you know, three strikes and you're out. You know, at a certain point, I unfriend you. And so I'm paying attention to how people are interacting on my page. I'm seeing what they're doing. And if I see people who are problem people, I add them to my spreadsheet, you know, people to watch. Let me see what happens with this person. And, you know, I usually will allow people to do far more than I should allow them. And I'll give you an example. Recently, last week, I put a post out there. I think it was over the weekend. I said, name a song from Lionel Richie. And most people jumped in, and they were naming Lionel Richie songs and everything like that. And then some person came in, and they posted three comments in a row, all negative, and one of them where they didn't use a curse word, but they kind of put like an abbreviation of one, you know, like where you put like one of the letters and then like an asterisk in there or something like that. And I was like, okay. And what's interesting is the person wasn't even my friend on Facebook. I put the post out there publicly, so anytime you put anything out there for the public, you know, you're going to get trolls out there. But this person was a follower. They had clicked to add me as a friend. I hadn't approved them yet, so good reason I was, I was right to be a little cautious about adding them. But because they did that, the next step was for me, since they weren't a friend, I couldn't unfriend them, but I did block them. I blocked them on Facebook, so now my page disappears from them, and their page disappears from me. So we're basically like invisible to each other on Facebook now, and that's okay. You know, they were not an ideal customer for me. There's really no reason for us to be connected. They just came through another friend, and so it's like, okay, some people like that, you just have to let go. You have to police your profile. You have to police your page. You know, make sure that you are weeding out the people who are causing problems. And there's a lot of negativity out on social media, so you don't want that happening on your page. Roy said, visualize your prospecting network as a series of concentric circles radiating from you through the people closest to you out to the general public. Well, I like that way you phrased that, Roy. That was a lot more concise, I think, than the example that I used. Thanks for sharing that. Roy said, another way to book appointments on social media is to create a video. Absolutely. And just remember again, you know, you're going to need to have your system set up. You want to have your system set up to where you can reach out to people over time, or not reach out to people over time, but you want to have your systems for setting appointments or having people opt in and register. You have to get those things in place if you want to really be able to take these skills, these techniques to the next level. All right, we're caught up on the posts, so I'm going to give it about a minute longer. And let me just give you a little preview about what's coming up in our next couple modules here. Next week, we'll be covering Module 9, which is on e-commerce and sales pages. Then the following week, we'll cover Module 10, which is on Digital U online video strategies. We'll be talking about online videos coming up here in a couple weeks. In fact, I completed a video program back in the month of December, and I also stepped up my own activity on video. I was striving for, I think, 10 new videos by the end of the year, and I think I got about 5 up. I didn't quite reach my goal. I got about half of it, but that was more than I had done within the last couple months. So, you know, setting a goal will get you into action. Module 11 is going to be on webinars, and Module 12 on PayPal invoices. Those are our next four modules. Those are all on lead conversion strategies. And then after that, we'll do a group coaching webinar. So I'll bring you live directly with me on the call, and you'll be able to ask a question, share a win, share a tip, or whatever else that would be related to our topic. And then after that, then we will go back through and complete the 12 modules and then wrap up this program. So, all right, let me do a final check out on Facebook, and then we'll close out this call for today. And it looks like we're hitting 39 comments. Great job for today. Alan says, next week, e-commerce and sales pages. And he says, great stuff coming. Thanks, Rick. You're welcome, Alan. All right, well, on that note, let's go ahead and wrap up the call for today. So I want to thank you for joining me. Hopefully you got a lot of great information today. I encourage you to go back through and listen to the recordings of these calls and take action. Think about what you learned today that you can take action on here in the next week. I look forward to connecting with you next week on the call. Have a great week, and God bless.